on your outline there. As we have previously studied in the Bible, Babylon is referred to as several things. And we just list four of them here for you. As we previously studied in the Bible, Babylon is referred to as, number one there, a city in Isaiah 14:4. We realize that Babylon, and this is a reiteration, previous lesson here, just this part, it's not only a city, but it's a country. It's a country. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. You remember when Nebuchadnezzar called all the princes of the provinces of Babylon, okay? It's not only a city and a country, it's an empire. It's an empire. The empire of Babylon. We know one of the four great empires in Daniel's great vision. And then also, as we know, in our last chapter, we looked at it, a religious system. A religious system, this mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, that religious system we looked at so thoroughly in our last three lessons. What is this great city, Babylon, that mighty city, and what does it represent in Revelation chapter 18? By the way, you find that in verse 2. It says there, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit." This city, Babylon. What is this city? Well, we have here, there are several possibilities, okay? Possibilities. Number one there, first bullet point, there are some scholars that believe, and again, these are possibilities, amen, this is what it could be, that they believe that the city of Babylon will be rebuilt on the plains of Shinar, right there in the middle of the world between the Tigris and the Euphrates, that Babylon itself will be rebuilt. Again, it certainly could be, and all God's people said. No doubt about that. That could be it. There are some people that believe that it's the city of Rome. The city of Rome. Of course, we looked at that. That was where the Antichrist and the great whore, the apostate church, kind of headquartered themselves during the tribulation. It certainly could be. And then third bullet point there, the commercial and political empire of the Antichrist. Now, I will just tell you where I stand on this. I believe it's two of the three. I believe it's either the city of Babylon rebuilt or the city of Rome rebuilt, but it also encompasses the commercial and political empire of the Antichrist. It's here's something again that as we look at on your outline there. It's called a city seven times in Revelation chapter 18. That means God called it a city seven times in this one chapter of the Word of God. And so we have a great principle of study here, a quote, "When the plain sense of Scripture makes sense, seek no other sense." Some people have to get so deep. What does it mean that it's a city? It could just mean that God wanted us to know that it's a city. Amen? You understand? Looking at that there, and so obviously there are several aspects to it that are commercial and political, but this city, this Babylon, is definitely a city. This is guaranteed on your outline. It is certainly the object of the judgment of God. Amen? This Babylon is going to be the object of the judgment of God. There are some people that make these two, this is not on your outline, but there are some people that make these two chapters one judgment. They're not the same judgment. And again, they're looking at your outline, there's an incredible yet simple difference between the judgments of Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 and Babylon the Great in Revelation 18. Chiefly, it's found in the executioner of each judgment. Mystery Babylon is destroyed by the Antichrist and the kings of the earth, if you look back over at Revelation chapter 17, verse 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast. Remember, we learned those are 10 kings. They've been given a kingdom during the tribulation by the Antichrist. That thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, that's the apostate church, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So the Antichrist and the kings of the earth are going to be the one that execute the judgment upon Mystery Babylon, whereas Babylon the Great is destroyed by God Himself in chapter 18. Look at verse number 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judgeth her. Meaning God Himself is going to judge this Babylon of chapter number 18. So thus, we have two distinct judgments of the two Babylons. Two bullet points at the bottom of page one here. The Babylon of false religion. And that started all the way back. By the way, false religion goes all the way back to Cain. Cain is the first modernist, the first liberal, the first one that said, you know what, I know God said blood for the offering, but I'm going to bring the best of my garden. That will not do. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away our sins. Amen? And so, but this system of false religion started in Genesis chapter 10 and 11 with the Tower of Babel. We'll look at that just a little bit tonight. So the Babylon of false religion is destroyed in chapter 17. And then last bullet point, the Babylon of false commerce and its capital are destroyed here in chapter number 18. Page number 2, Roman numeral number 1. The first thing we see here is we see the announcement. We see the announcement in verses 1 through 3. Number 1 under that, we see the distinction. There's a distinction here made. It says, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with His glory. God makes a distinction here on your outline. He is different from the angel in Revelation 17. You see there in Revelation chapter 17, you remember the story in verse 1. It says, and came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and he talked with John, and he said, I'm going to carry you away into the wilderness and show you. This is a different angel. There are some people that have surmised that this is an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture makes it clear it's an angel, but the reason there some folks believe that is because the Bible says they're having great power and the earth was lightened with His glory. You know, if you've never done a study on angels, angels are miraculous creatures. They have incredible power. This particular one has this incredible glory about him. There's a story in the Old Testament where one angel wiped out 185,000 Midianites. One angel. Angels are awesome creatures. They really, really are. Thank God that they do His bidding and His will. Amen. There are fallen angels too, but there's a distinction here. Number two, not only the distinction, but the proclamation in verse number two. What is the proclamation there? And we read, it says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And he's become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. This great city has fallen. It will happen. You say, what do you mean? Listen, in the mind of God, Babylon has already fallen. Amen? See, this is amazing to us mortals. God sees the beginning from the end. So this Babylon is fallen. It's done. It's all done. And he says there, this proclamation, this great city, it's already done. Number three, the habitation. The habitation. That should be foul, not fowls, amen. Foul spirits make their abode in this judged city. And as if there wasn't enough demonism and spiritualism during the back half of the Great Tribulation, God takes the time to tell us that this Babylon is become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit. Just like there are great and powerful angels, there are filthy, foul spirits. I think of those ones in 2 Peter that have been locked in Tartarus for this whole time. I think of those ones that we read about earlier in Revelation that were literally kept captive in the Euphrates. Every filthy, foul spirit will become all over Babylon. What a terrible place to be. A terrible place. Then we see not only the distinction, the proclamation, the habitation, we see the fornication in verse number 3 as well. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. We have a little notation here. This city has made the world rich through illicit means. I'll talk about it a little bit further down, but isn't it amazing, folks, when legitimate business moves out of an area, illegitimate business always springs up. Amazing how many more adult stores there will be. Amazing how many more liquor stores there will be when honest and upright business goes. And so we see this fornication here. Number two, not only the announcement, number one, but we see the encouragement in verses 4 and 5. It says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Number one, under Roman numeral number 2, we see the removal. And this is fascinating to study this. This is yet, on your outline, yet another instance that calls for the separation of His people prior to the commencing with judgment. God here says in verse number 4, come out of her, my people. Now remember, this is at the very end of the great tribulation. There are still some people that are going to be martyred for the faith. He says, come out of her, my people. Very interesting. Let me give you just 3 examples where God did that, where He called out His own to separation before judgment. Lot in Sodom. Remember that. Listen, you remember how Abraham pleaded, "Will thou destroy the righteous with the wicked?" And he said, "If there's 10 righteous there, I'll not destroy the city." Now, sad to say that Lot was so sorry of a Christian, we know he had at least 2 daughters at home, and we know he had at least 2 married daughters. Him and his wife, that's 6. That means over the course of his life, if he'd have just got 4 people to the Lord, God would have spared Sodom. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we ought not to get to the judgment seat of Christ and lead less than 4 people to the Lord. Amen. We ought to be telling the story. Amen. But here, and you remember the story that God said, I am going to judge this. And the angels came and said, judgment is coming. And Lot said, oh, no, no. I don't think you understand. And the Bible says that the angel said, look, we can't do anything until you get out of the city. And God, literally the angel grabbed him by the hand and had to drag him out. But that was one time. Another time is in Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51. Israel from Babylon. God used Babylon in an unusual way to accomplish His will. But then there was going to come a point where God was going to judge the empire of Babylon. And He called Israel out. An interesting one, number 3, see there, is He calls the church from the world in 2 different ways. First of all, He told us to come ye out, be ye separate, saith the Lord. We're supposed to be separate from the world. Amen. That is not being preached in pulpits. And the reason why we have worldly young people is because preachers are not proclaiming we're supposed to be separate from the world. We're not supposed to be looking like the world and dressing like the world. Amen, amen, and amen. But also, very interesting, if you turn back just a few pages there to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 10. I'm sorry, chapter number 1. There is no 1 Thessalonians chapter number 10. I know some of you knew that as soon as I said that. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. A very interesting verse. A compelling verse, I would say, to those that may not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. This is, to me, the cementing verse. It says here in verse 10, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. This 7-year period that we've been studying since Revelation chapter 6 is known as the tribulation. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, in Revelation chapter number 4, Jesus proclaims that separation doctrine when He says, come up. He says it to His church, come up hither. And He delivers us from judgment. He calls us out. He separates us. And I'm so glad for that. Amen. Number one, the removal. Number two, the reasons. Why did God call His people away from Babylon? Well, number one, He didn't want them to be partakers. He didn't want them to be partakers. The reasons, A, partakers. Look what it says there in verse number 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. Young people, if you don't get anything I'm saying tonight, please mark this next phrase. Highlight it. Underscore it. Sin's stain is harder to get out than it is to get on. Sin's stain is harder to get out than it is to get on. And so God tells His people, listen, I'm getting ready to judge. Get out of there, that you be not partakers of her sins. It can happen, by the way, to a Christian. A Christian, you read Ephesians chapter 5, a Christian is capable of doing what the world does. A Christian is capable of walking in the flesh. And that's why God tells us there in Ephesians chapter 5 to be renewed, to walk in the newness of life, to put on the new man, amen, and to put off the old man. And He says here to His people, listen, you need to get out of there. Don't be partakers of their sins. Be. And not only did He not want them to be partakers, but He didn't want them to be plagued. It says there in verse 4, and that ye receive not of her plagues. And we have a good cross reference there. You can look it up when you want. But in Exodus chapter number 12, the 10th plague, the plague of the firstborn, God said to His people, I will pass through all of Egypt tonight. And I'm going to slay all the firstborn except those that slay the lamb. And sprinkle the blood on the doorposts and on the lintels. Did you know if you were a Jew and you didn't have the blood applied, your firstborn died? Just like the Egyptians did. See, here God says, hey, listen, you need to come out. You don't want to be part of her plagues. I'm about to judge her so severely. Number three, we have the removal, the reasons. Number three, we have the reach, and an interesting cross-reference in verse number five there. That should be verse number 5, the reach. It says there, for her sins have reached unto heaven. If you look up that cross-reference in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, and you remember the story of Nimrod and how they were trying to make a tower that reached unto heaven. Trying to work their way up. But the only thing of theirs that reached unto heaven was their sins. How sad, amen? So we see the reach. And then we see the remembrance in verse number 5. It says there that, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Go back, if you would. It's not in your outline, but hold your place there. Go back to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. I love it when the Lord leads. This wasn't in my outline, wasn't in my notes, but I just got to thinking about this verse as we thought about that. God remembers Babylon's iniquities. And you know what it says about ours? Verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 8. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Any unrighteous people tonight? And all God's people said, amen. I'll say it loudly. Amen. Unrighteous. Not worthy. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. But this Babylon, there's the remembrance. If you go over to the cross reference just a couple pages over, Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, at the great white throne judgment, which we'll study in detail in the coming weeks, it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. I believe one of those books is going to be a book of remembrance. Thank God for those of us that have had our sins blotted out. Can you imagine to stand at the great white throne and have a 70-foot screen and have your sins and your iniquities be put on that screen for all of humanity and God to show. I'm going to tell you, son, if that was the only reason, Brother Boston, to get saved, it'd be a good one. But here it says that their iniquities, God remembers. Oh, praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away all our sins. So we see the remembrance. R.G. Lee in his great sermon, Payday Someday, great quote here, says, yes, and from this we learn of the power and certainty of God in carrying out His own retributive providence, that men might know that His justice slumbereth not. Even though the mill of God grinds slowly, it grinds to powder, and though His judgments have leaden heels, they have iron hands. They always find their mark, don't they? The judgments of God. Back page number 3, we see the payment. Number 1, we see the announcement. Number 2, we see the encouragement. Number 3, we see the payment in verses 6 through 8. We see the compensation, number 1. In verse number 6, it says there in Revelation chapter 18, verse 6, it says, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. And we give you the cross reference there in Exodus chapter 21. And that is the idea of eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Now, thank God, ladies and gentlemen, we live in the age of grace. I'm glad God doesn't require eye for eye. As some great philosopher once said, if God in this age required eye for eye and tooth for tooth, we'd all be blind and toothless. Very true. But here in the tribulation, it's a dispensation of judgment. And God here deals in retribution. If you look at your outline, the reward is in measure as to how Babylon treated the people of God, particularly during the tribulation. Let me just move away from the pulpit for a minute here. My opinion. I believe Christians are going back into the Colosseums during the tribulation. I believe Christians will be killed for sport. Just for fun. Just like they used to be in Rome all those years ago. That's what God's talking about here. He said, you reward her just like she treated you. I'll tell you what, that's about the time Babylon's knees start quaking, because they know how they have mistreated the people of God. Number 2, not only the compensation, but number 2, we see the multiplication. And there it says in verse number 6, reward her even as she rewarded you. Now that's certainly the principle of retribution, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. That's three doubles, folks. Walvoord put it this way, the normal law of retribution, however, is here doubled in recognition of the enormity of the sin of Babylon. And by the way, listen, our God is sovereign. If He wants to judge double, He can judge double. Babylon's certainly deserving of triple and quadruple, amen? But He says here, you double it. So we see the compensation, the multiplication. We see the retribution in verses 6 and 7. The retribution. It says there, and double unto her double according to her works. According to her, and if you look down in the middle of verse 7 there, it says, so much torment and sorrow give her. On your outline, the basis of such severe judgment is the wicked works of Babylon. And I just have here a note under here. Oh, the awful things that people have done for the almighty dollar through the ages of time. You think about that. That's what Babylon, part of Babylon is. It's a commercial system that is anti-God. Listen, we in America, we're going the wrong way morally. We're not even, if you could say it this way, we're not even holding our own anymore. We've been coasting a long time on the faith of the founding fathers, but we're not even holding our own anymore. I mean, this gay marriage thing, it's absolutely out of control. Listen, we have states in our country where prostitution is legal. Listen, that is what people will do for the almighty dollar. They literally traffic in human souls for the almighty dollar. And I want to tell you something. There's a terrible retribution from God for these. Number four, we see the exaltation in verse 7. Look at it. Talking about Babylon here. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and she and shall see no sorrow. So we have a few points under here. First thing is Babylon puffed herself. Puffed. Says there, how much she hath glorified herself. This godless city and system hath glorified herself. Again, remember, folks, we're talking about the tribulation. It's what the world's always wanted. 7 years without God. Without God's restraints. Read Psalm chapter 2. Fascinating to read that. How the kings of the earth set themselves together. And one of the things that God records there is they say, let us break their bands asunder. They just get rid of all these rules and restraints. Well, here it is. Doesn't turn out too good. Amen, church? Not only has she puffed herself, this godless city and system hath glorified herself, be pampered herself. Pampered herself. Now don't you ladies get nervous. It's okay to pamper yourself and get your nails done. That's okay. It's not what this is talking about. Oh, the prosperity and delicious living of the wicked. Oh, the prosperity. Early on after I got saved, and I began to forsake sin. And I began to give things away to God and just say, God, you keep these. I don't want them anymore. And praise God for Him working on a new soul with a lot of baggage. I realize, and I mentioned this in my message earlier this year when I preached on the sin of pornography. But listen, that is somebody's little girl that perverts are looking at. Amen. And I got to thinking about that, and I think about this Babylon pampering herself, and literally goes back to that trafficking in human beings. It's wicked, and it's wrong. Amen. So she's pampered herself with the blood of other people. Number C, she's positioned herself. verse 7 at the end, it says there, "For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow." If there was ever a God-given illustration on your outline, if there was ever a God-given illustration for the phrase, setting yourself up for a fall, Babylon is it. She positions herself as a queen and gives herself over to spiritual fornication. That's what it means there where it says, I'm no widow. She fornicates with the world. Look at verse 3. It says there, "And all nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her." If you go down to verse 7, it says, "She hath glorified herself, lived deliciously, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow." And then if you go down to verse 9, "And the kings of the earth have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her." She positions herself as a queen and gives herself over to fornication. Lastly, number 5, we see the compensation, the multiplication, the retribution, the exaltation. We see the destruction in verse 8. Two things about the destruction. It's sure. The first mention of the word surely in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 17, I believe. See verse 16 or verse 17. It's when God said, I think it's verse 17. When God said, you can eat of all the trees of the garden, but if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. Listen, this judgment on Babylon, it's going to happen. Look what it says in verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come. That means mark it down on the calendar. It's coming. God will judge. It's not only sure, but it's sudden in verse 8. Look what it says there. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Have you ever thought about that? What a difference a day makes. What a difference a day makes. When I preached my dad's funeral, that was the title of my message, Brother Holy. What a difference a day makes. How things can change. And here, obviously, we know that God is going to judge. We know that as Christians. But the world here during the tribulation is just living it up. And all of a sudden, God judges speedily. One day, one hour, one moment. Hey, listen. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that the blood of Jesus Christ causes God to be forgetful. Boy, you read so many verses, and I'll close with just a couple, but I read in Psalm chapter 103 where it says, our sins are buried in the depths of the sea. Psalm 103 again says, our sins are separated as far as the east is from the west. You know, if you head west and just keep heading west, unless you turn around, you'll never head east. And you know what? God never turns around. When the devil wants to bring up our sins, Isaiah 38:17 says, our sins are behind the back of God. And though God can do anything, He chooses not to look behind His back at our sins. You know why? Because they were all placed on Jesus. And He saw them all. Praise His dear name. Father, we love You.